Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is Monday, December 10th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you are listening to Via the Source. In this episode, we're going to be going over the game between the New England Patriots and the Miami Dolphins. I told you guys I was going to be there in Miami, in the press box, and I was, and wow, what a truly amazing experience it was. First of all, I am extremely grateful to the Miami Dolphins organization for allowing me to be there in the press box as a member of the media, and of course, all the things that came with it, that being the locker room, and man, everything truly was amazing. I went to the Bears game back in October. That was around the date of my birthday. The Dolphins ended up pulling out a miraculous win. It truly was. And I thought nothing could top that. But I had no idea what was going to be in store for me this game against the Patriots. So just to get straight into it, it was the miracle in Miami. It was passion. It was adversity. And at the end, it was happiness. The ending between the Miami Dolphins and the New England Patriots was everything people love about sports. It's an improbable victory coming on the final play of a game against all odds in front of your home fans. I witnessed this game from the press box in Hard Rock Stadium, and I don't know if I'll ever see another event in my life with this much raw emotion. Down by five with 7 seconds left on the clock, the Dolphins came out in their Hail Mary formation, which typically signifies defeat. Tannehill dropped back and threw it 15 yards to Kenny Stills. Stills then pitched it quickly to Devontae Parker, and Parker pitched it back and towards the sideline to a full stride Kenyon Drake. Now Drake runs sideways parallel to the yard marks looking for someone to dump the ball off to. He realizes that in front of him there is a growing gap and there's no one there except for one man to beat, and that is Rob Gronkowski. Now I have a tremendous respect for Gronk, but he isn't catching Kenyon Drake in full stride in any scenario. Drake bolts past him into the end zone, capping off a 69-yard game-winning touchdown. The Dolphins win, and guys, this is something that was amazing to me. I said in my victory piece, if Xavien Howard doesn't play in this game, it will truly require assistance from a higher being. It will require a miracle. And as I walked into the Dolphins locker room post game, everyone was going crazy. Kiko Alonso looked at me. He pointed up and said, "That's the football gods." And indeed, it was. That was truly amazing. It was very much a miracle in every single way. It was improbable, absolutely magnificent. It was a 34-33 win for the Dolphins on the final play of the game. And here are a few words from Minka Fitzpatrick and Bobby McCain about what they thought about the miracle in Miami.
All right. Well, we have right here what people are calling the miracle in Miami. How does it feel right now in this locker room?
There's a whole lot of energy in the locker room, man. You know, when you win a game like that, it's crazy. Because you really don't expect to win off of something like that.
Yeah.
You know, beat a great team. It's a good win for the team. And like I said, there's a whole lot of energy right now.
Just unbelievable, man. You know, you just keep fighting. Play through the whistle. Play all 60 minutes. Never give up. Keep pushing, keep playing, keep fighting. Just be relentless.
Okay, well, first off, I'm going to start with how I got to Miami. Not too in-depth, just my little story about getting up to that point about the game. Well, first, I drove into Houston. Of course, I'm from South Texas, so it was like a five-hour drive to get to Houston. We didn't get into Houston until around 3 in the morning. And then we went to bed. We woke up the next day because our flight then was around 7-ish. Well, it got pushed back a few hours. It was very late, and we ended up not getting into Fort Lauderdale until about midnight. We had to go pick up the press passes. We had to drive back to the hotel. In all, we didn't end up going to bed until around 2 in the morning. Then we woke up the following day very early to just check out some of the pregame events they had there. So we got to Hard Rock Stadium. First thing we did there, we went to the Football Unites tailgate. That is a tailgate that the Dolphins have at every home game. The Dolphins owner Stephen Ross and players host this tailgate to strengthen the relationships between community leaders, youth, and law enforcement. And spokesperson Jason Jenkins, the Miami Dolphins Senior Vice President of Communications and Community Affairs, was there speaking to a crowd. So that was very nice to see. We also checked out the Bud Light backyard tailgate. That was also pretty fun. There was a lot of Patriots fans, I will say that, but they were all being very friendly with the Dolphins fans. It seems like everyone was really kind of getting along, at least before the game. And then it started raining intensely. I'm not even lying. I was completely drenched, and I was like, dang it, this game is going to get postponed or something. There was no lightning, but I was like, this is pretty bad. But I guess that's just me not being used to South Florida, because within minutes, it completely stopped and everything went back to normal. So I guess that's a little taste of South Florida for me. And that's how it was for me pre-game. It was pretty intense, you know, a lot of traveling, and then ended up getting drenched in rain. But to talk about the game, the Dolphins move on to 7-6 with this win, which keeps them in the AFC wildcard hunt. As always, I start with the game ball. The game ball in this game goes to the running back group. No one player, the entire group of running backs. This group carried the team today. The Dolphins had a combined 189 yards rushing. Gore dominated throughout this matchup. He finished with 12 carries for 92 yards, as well as a huge 24-yard reception. Former Patriot Brandon Bolden exploded this game with 60 yards and 2 touchdowns, and that was on 2 carries. He had a 54-yard touchdown, which was a career long for him. And then Kenyon Drake. Drake's role in this wasn't huge in this game. In fact, if it wasn't for that final play, many would have looked at the stat line and said that his lack of usage was present yet again. But he was the hero in this game. He made the miracle in Miami. Without his ability on the final play, the Dolphins don't get this win. For that, he rightly deserves a part of this game ball. He is the hero. Now let's take a little bit deeper of a look into this game. This game had 9 lead changes, which is a record for both franchises. Both teams had opportunities to win this game, but both had very different areas of productivity. The Dolphins were led by their rushing attack, as the whole team finished with a staggering 9 yards per carry. The Patriots just did not have an answer for Frank Gore and for Kenyon Drake, and they also allowed Brandon Bolden to break one big. The Dolphins' passing game wasn't as strong as the box score would suggest, as Tannehill finished with 265 yards and 3 touchdowns. That number, of course, includes that final play. Now, I will say that Tannehill looked solid. This was probably almost peak Tannehill in terms of what you're going to get from him. He was stepped on towards the end of the first half, and that caused him to have a noticeable limp for the duration of the game. And despite that, he still looked really effective and continued to drop some very nice passes and play mistake-free football. He connected with Bryce Butler on a 23-yard touchdown reception. It was very reminiscent of the pass he threw last week to Devontae Parker. He led him up high, put in a position where only he could get it, and it looked very nice. Here is some audio I have with Bryce Butler. I was able to speak with him for a little bit. He talked about his catch and what he thinks about going from Dallas to Miami.
Had a post, like a post with a corner from the tight end, and they were in quarters coverage, which means the safety is going to take the tight end on the corner. And so I knew that from the pre-snap read. They like to run quarters a lot into the red zone, so I knew the ball was going to come to me, so it was just a matter of going to make the play.
And then coming from Dallas, working with Dak Prescott, he was a younger guy. Now you come here and you're with Tannehill, more of a seasoned veteran. Are there any differences that you noticed from switching to, you know, a younger quarterback to someone who's been in the league for longer?
I went from a quarterback that was wearing number 4 to a quarterback wearing number 17. You know, I'm in Miami playing for Ryan Tannehill right now, and it's been great so far. I don't got no regrets and no complaints.
You kind of joined the team just midway through the season. Were you surprised that you were instantly kind of put in this important role in the offense?
No, I mean, they told me that, you know, when they signed me, you know, I was going to have a big role coming in. So I didn't really expect that, like to expect nothing else, because that's what they told me. So I'm just glad I've been able to come in and learn as much as I can and go out and make plays.
And now Bryce Butler was an awesome guy to talk to. I really appreciate him taking the time to speak with me. I've always been a big fan of Bryce Butler's game. I've always said that he was the best receiver on that Cowboys roster as Dez Bryant started to get older. I really had faith in him. He came into Miami and he has been looking great ever since he joined the team. So, you know, a big round of applause and thank you very much, Bryce Butler, for that interview. Now we move on. Tannehill also found Kenny Stills in the first half for a short touchdown. Stills would end up being the only Dolphins receiver to catch multiple passes. He finished the game with 8 catches for 135 yards and a touchdown. Now you look at that stat line, you would typically make him a candidate for the player the game. If you hear that, 135 yards, 8 catches, and a touchdown. But he also had 2 costly plays that almost turned this whole narrative of the game against him. He slid a yard short of a first down on this second down play, and many people were frustrated, and rightly so. He could have dove for it. He could have made more of an effort. Instead, he chose to slide. He must not have been aware of the situation or where he was at on the field. It goes, you know, without saying that on the next play, Tannehill was sacked, and they were forced to punt the ball because of that one play. He also dropped a costly third down reception. New England would, of course, get the ball back and make use of that. So it seemed like towards the end of that game, everything was going to be dumped on Kenny Stills. You could tell in the locker room he felt very relieved. He took it personally. He felt really bad, and he felt like he let the team down. Luckily, that game went the other way, because I think everyone in this fan base is a fan of Kenny Stills. I don't think anyone has anything negative to say about him. He's a great person in the community. Of course, he's always been a great player for the Dolphins. It would be a darn shame if it was him to end up costing the team the game. And, you know, fortunately, that is not the case about what happened. Now, Devontae Parker, throughout this game, could not get any separation on Stephon Gilmore. Gilmore came into this game as Pro Football Focus's number 2 ranked corner in the entire NFL. He continued a strong defensive season, holding Parker to only 1 catch for 18 yards on 4 targets. And that's something that I have to mention, because I have to give Gilmore his props. That entire game, I was like, okay, Tannehill should stop trying this man, because there is no separation. There was one play where he was absolutely blanketed and ran Devontae Parker's route for him, and it was almost a pick. And after seeing that, I was like, okay, just don't do it anymore. Don't try this guy, because he is on an absolute roll right now. So yeah, I just had to give a major props to Stephon Gilmore. He is playing amazing right now. Defensively, the Dolphins had a relatively poor outing, but given the circumstances, it was impressive that they managed to keep the game close in this one. The Dolphins were without their star corner, Xavien Howard. It was rookie Minkah Fitzpatrick who took Howard's spot as the lead boundary corner. He followed Josh Gordon for the duration of this game. I was able to speak with Minkah Fitzpatrick about what he thought about lining up against Josh Gordon and how he played this game. Here is what he had to say.
Yeah. Right, well, you were lined up against Josh Gordon. You know, we all know how talented he is. How was it going up against him?
It was tough, man. I mean, there's some things I could have done a whole lot better. But, you know, I'm just learning. He's a great receiver, great quarterback. And like I said, you know, I didn't play my best game today. Kind of upset about that, but I just got to learn from it. Keep moving forward and, you know, just learn from today and apply it to the rest of the season.
And when you heard that Howard was out, how did that affect you? What were you thinking? Was it nervousness, or was it like a feeling of motivation? Or what?
I mean, I've been playing corner for the past 4 or 5 weeks, 6 weeks actually. So, you know, it wasn't too much of a difference. I didn't do too much differently. I mean, when we play, me and X are in the game, he got the left side, I got the right side. So it wasn't too much of a difference. So
now, Minkah Fitzpatrick is an absolute class act. Like, guys, the Miami Dolphins picked the perfect guy in this situation. Not only is he a tremendous athlete, but this guy is an outstanding character. You can tell he is very respectful, very humble, and he just wants to win. He loves the sport of football. He plays like he's a kid out there just having fun, and that was amazing to see. Well, he was up against Josh Gordon. Gordon was held to 2 catches for 23 yards in the first half, and Fitzpatrick really appeared to be doing a tremendous job shutting out Josh Gordon. But in the third quarter, Gordon caught a comeback route where Fitzpatrick took a bad angle, it looked like, turning the play into a 29-yard gain. From that moment on, Gordon appeared to have the upper hand. He would finish with 96 yards on 5 catches. Receiver Julian Edelman also had a big day, catching 9 passes for 86 yards in a touchdown. Now, I did say that, you know, Edelman's going to get his. He's going to get his catches. You just have to limit his after-the-catch ability. He was lined up mostly on Bobby McCain, and here's what Bobby McCain had to say about lining up against Edelman.
And you were up against Edelman a lot of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And how is it when you go up against him? He's, of course, like, you know, a precision route runner. He's really
shifty. Yeah, you know, he's a good player. He's a good player. I got respect for him. He can block. He can run routes. He can catch the ball, catch traffic. He likes to, you know, work on the linebackers a little bit. But, hey, that's their game. And we know that's what they're about. So, but hey, it's a big dub for us. And we're really excited. We're going to enjoy the night and go back to work for Minnesota on Monday.
Now, Bobby McCain's also just an awesome guy. You could tell his energy is so positive, and he's just, you know, a very respectful player as well. So a big thank you to Bobby McCain for taking the time to speak with us. Now, Edelman's touchdown came on a 2-yard catch. He was lined up against rookie Cornell Armstrong. It's really hard to knock a rookie who is lined up against one of the most precise route runners in the league like Edelman. So I won't use that against him too much, but that was just a clear mismatch, and Tom Brady took advantage of it. Now, Rob Gronkowski also had one of his best performances of the season. He finished with 8 catches for 107 yards and a touchdown. His touchdown came on a play where Raekwon McMillan bit on an underneath route. The split-second hesitation was enough for Gronk to get open over the top. McCain wasn't able to stop a huge, massive Rob Gronkowski. And when you see that guy in person, you realize that, man, this guy is truly just a massive being. There is a very little way to stop this guy. I mean, I really feel for any defenders that have to bring this guy down, because that is an incredible challenge to do so. I mean, that guy is so big. Now, Kiko Alonso, who finished with 10 tackles, was tasked with the tough mission of bringing down Gronk, and here is what he had to say about that.
You gotta hit him. You gotta hit him with everything you got. You gotta take him to the ground.
Now, Kiko Alonso is also an awesome character. He's funny. He was just dropping jokes the whole time. You could tell he was in a very positive mood after the win. He also brings this amazing atmosphere to the locker room. Awesome guy. Thank you to Kiko Alonso. Now, I figured in this game, either Chris Hogan or Cordarrelle Patterson would find the end zone, and that's simply because there aren't enough experienced DBs to account for all the Patriots' offense at once. Eventually, one of these guys would get open, and just that happened. Patterson scored on a 37-yard touchdown reception. It looked like Walt Akins was trying to cover him. Patterson had the upper hand. Of course, Patterson's a guy who is known for his home run threat, for his athletic ability. He just got the upper hand on that one. Now, an important key here, one of the keys to victory was to eliminate the Patriots' group of running backs. Last time these two teams faced each other, Sony Michel and James White combined for 224 yards and 3 touchdowns. In this game, they only combined for 85 and no touchdown, so that was a huge key to this game. Michel was held to only 57 yards rushing and less than 3 yards per carry. That is tremendous. James White was held to 2 catches for 15 yards. Last week, James White had 7 catches for 92 yards, so seeing his output decreased so dramatically is also a tremendous sign for this Miami defense. The highlight of the Dolphins defense, though, came on one play. With 30 seconds remaining in the first half, Matt Hawk was set to punt inside his own end zone. His punt was blocked, and the Patriots recovered on the Miami 15-yard line. Brady drove down to the 2-yard line, almost a sure score, you would think. But after 2 incompletions on back-to-back plays, Brady was sacked on third down by Robert Quinn. New England had no timeouts, and Miami escaped a terrible situation without giving up a single point. It was a game-saving stand by the defense. I hope people recognize that play, it may not be the play of the game, of course, because of the final miracle in Miami, but this truly was a game-saving play and should be recognized as well. Now, here are my takeaways for this game. The first one I have is that Ryan Tannehill, no, I'm just kidding. I'm going to give you a break, Tannehill. I've been on you too much. I'm going to give him a break in this one. He is not in my takeaways. The first takeaway I have is that this Dolphins team can beat almost any team, but they can also lose to almost any team as well. They play with heart and passion in a way that makes them a contender, even against the most difficult of opponents like the Patriots. But when they're hot, they're very hot. When they're cold, they're very cold. They can fall apart in matchups that look like they should win. Now, you never know which team you're going to get. Consistency is part of what makes a team great. Just look at New England and what they've been able to do. The Dolphins showed they can hang with these really good teams, but they just need to do it consistently now to convince us. My next takeaway is that a Dolphins win starts at one point, and that is stopping the opponent's running game. Even with Xavien Howard out, the Dolphins defense made it a tough outing for Tom Brady. He had to throw the ball a lot, and while he was successful for a large majority of the game, it shows what could happen when you eliminate the other team's running backs. And then my last takeaway is that this This may go down as the most exciting finish in Miami Dolphins history. No matter where you were, whether you saw it on a television, whether you saw it at the game, or even on Twitter, you witnessed history. Sometimes a win is a win, but sometimes a win transcends sports and becomes engraved in time forever, permanently instilled in the memories of fans, being passed down for generations and generations. This was something that was truly monumental, and I am so grateful that I was able to share this experience around so many tremendous people and to be able to see the look on fans' faces as they witnessed this historic moment. It was something that I will always cherish for the rest of my life. And a final note, I was able to take my dad to this game and to take him with me to the locker room, and he met Dan Marino. He shook Dan Marino's hand. And if that's not my most accomplished moment, getting the person who made me a fan of the Dolphins with our favorite player of all time, someone that he spoke about as if he wasn't real, someone that we both watched with amazement, I got my dad to meet Dan Marino, and that's probably my life's biggest accomplishment, that I was able to do that for him. It really, you know, I can only imagine what it means to him, but just putting him in that situation means a whole lot to me, and I'll forever be grateful to the Miami Dolphins organization. Thank you so much, and Miami Dolphins fans, cherish this win, because I don't know if we'll ever see something that will ever happen again like this. This was something absolutely magical. And that's how I'm going to wrap it up, guys. As always, you can follow me on Twitter, at ShadySteven, at Via The Source. I'll love to hear you guys' opinions, what you guys thought of that miracle in Miami. Until next time, though, I'm Steve Amasso, and this was Via The Source.